Welcome, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Sharon King, who's talking to us today from Thailand. And Sharon is the author of a book, Healing Your Birth, Healing Your Life, which has been translated into four languages so far, and hopefully Spanish quite soon as well. So Sharon has been working in the field of pre and perinatal work and supporting families and mums for many years. And she brings in a lot of different kind of techniques, and some of those she's going to go through with us today, including things like EFT, meditations, breath work, etc. So really looking forward to your presentation, Sharon, which is about staying calm in a world where everything is chaotic. Actually, that's not quite the title, but it's something like that. And I know you're going to refer to our current situation with COVID and how that's impacting everybody, and particularly babies and mums.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sharon, for being here. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for the invitation. And hello, everybody. As you can see, I'm here in my bedroom in Thailand. So let's get started. So the importance of staying calm when everything around you feels unsafe. Or I quite like your title too, John, Everything Feels Chaotic, because there is a lot of chaos going on right now. Okay, so this talk that I've put together today is aimed, I guess, at parents. But if you're not a parent, don't worry. As an individual, you'll get some learnings from this experience as well. So a little bit about my background. So I'm going to go relatively quickly through this just so I can get to the juicy content bit for you. So I've been a holistic therapist for over 20 years. I started off doing massage, aromatherapy, reflexology, Reiki, all of the predominantly normal, if you like, mainstream now, that wasn't mainstream many years ago, healing techniques. I discovered EFT, which is also known as tapping, in 2007, and I learned this technique through EFT master Carl Dawson. I was on the first ever matrix reimprinting training. So this is a technique that Carl Dawson created using EFT. And I was also one of the few matrix reimprinting trainers. I say was because I've now kind of moved on, if you like, from the matrix reimprinting world into my own world of the MetaClear technique. So whilst I was working with matrix reimprinting, I created my own technique called matrix birth reimprinting. So within the whole of the technique, matrix reimprinting works with any trauma at any time of life. And my speciality, if you like, or my interest, started by working with a lady called Caroline, who had fear of giving birth to her third child, because the first two birth experiences were long labors. She had medical intervention she didn't want, and she had trouble breastfeeding. And she was in fear of giving birth for a third time because she didn't want another traumatic birth experience. So Caroline's story, I'm not going to go into it today, but if you want to go to the healyourbirthbook.com website, then you can download chapter one, or you can go to Amazon and chapter one's available. And that's Caroline's story. This is the story of how I developed matrix birth reimprinting, working through Caroline as we worked through the trauma of giving birth to her first child. We worked through the trauma of our own birth experience and separation from her mum after birth. We worked through the trauma of a second child. And then we did what I call a future birth reimprinting, is where we showed the baby how the birth was going to be in the future. Now, the outcome of that session blew me away, and what sparked my interest in specializing in the area of birth. So there's many changes that happened, and like I said, I'll let you read the first chapter to find out about that, the more of the details. But the thing that got me most excited was the fact that her baby was born exactly how she visualized how we went through the future event in her mind, how the birth was going to be, how the bonding was going to be. And she had a very natural birth. She was able to bond very easily with her baby, Archie, and she had no problem breastfeeding at all. And then she went on to give birth a fourth time to another baby boy in exactly the same way as she gave birth to Archie. So there was many different outcomes for her after the session and for her two children too. So all of the information that I'm going to be kind of sharing with you today is some of the content that's in the book as well. I'm not going to go into many case studies because I want to focus really on speaking about what's currently happening right now. And as I say, I've moved away from Matrix Reimprinting now, and myself and a beautiful friend of mine called Jane Slight-Leach have created the MetaClear technique between us. So I will be incorporating all the birth work, the relationship work, everything that I do under the banner, if you like, of the MetaClear technique. So the book itself is written primarily for practitioners, but it's also very useful for mothers-to-be and anybody who has birth trauma. It's a mix of scientific studies, it's birth education, and there's many, many, many case studies, not just from myself, but from other practitioners that I have taught. It's a book that you can use to help transform your own birth trauma. If you're a mother that's given birth previously, it's also for transforming your experience of childbirth. And what is unusual about this technique as well, it not only transforms the trauma for the mother, but if the mother can also work in the field or in the memory on her baby or her child, and that also helps to change what's going on in their life. And there's stories in there of physical transformations, emotional transformations, mental transformations. So it covers all areas. And also, if you're working on your own birth experience, it can also help heal the relationship between yourself and your mother. If you're currently pregnant, like Caroline was, then it's really good to work on your own birth trauma and heal that, heal any fears around giving birth, any issues you currently have going on in life, which is the main area we're going to be talking about right now, and also creating a visualization or an experience of a natural birth in the future, which helps that outcome to be what you would like or what you would want. So we are living in a time of worldwide trauma situation that is going to have consequences for many, many generations to come. And yes, I am going to be referring to COVID, the virus. I know there's a lot of energy around everything to do with that, whether it's wearing masks, whether it's the vaccinations, whether it's the being locked up in home, whether it's, you know, having to homeschool your children. It's a pretty tough time for many, many people. And I feel very blessed to actually have been here in Thailand in March when the world went crazy, as I describe it. And I made the choice. I made the decision. I had the choice to come back to the UK, and I just made the choice to stay. And I'm very grateful for that. But I am also very aware. I keep a lot of connection with people in the UK, so I am aware what's going on there. And of course, this, you know, you may be listening from a different country as well, so each country has their own stories around what's happening right now. So babies in utero right now are being programmed for the future through the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions of the parents. We predominantly think that it's in the birth psychology world, we predominantly believe that it's the mother that has the biggest effect on the baby, but we're also going to talk a little bit about how the father can affect the baby too, with how he's thinking and feeling around this time. Okay, just bear with me a second. Here we go. So our time in utero and how we come into the world. Many of you listening right now may already be birth experts or professionals, but some of you may be new to this. So I just want to cover this for those of you that are new to this information. So our time in utero it sets up precursors on how our body and brain are going to develop. Now, not many people have a conscious memory of being in utero, and not many people have a conscious memory of their birth. But if you were to ask a three-year-old, do you remember the time of being in the womb? Do you remember a time, or do you remember a time of being in mummy's tummy, which you, would be the language more likely you were to ask your three-year-old? Or if you were to ask them, do you remember your birth? A lot of three-year-olds will be able to give you some form of explanation around their memories of what it was like to be in the womb. So even though we don't have a conscious memory of being in the womb, everything that happens to us is recorded in our subconscious. And early on, if we catch children young enough and they're able to articulate it, they can also tell you about their experiences. So depending on what's going on for mum, the baby will start developing in the best way so it can survive when it comes into the outside world. So the baby senses the world through the mother's perception of the world. So if mum's feeling happy, if mum's feeling safe, if mum's feeling, I don't know, she's done her meditation, she's done her yoga, she's feeling very peaceful, she's in a loving, safe environment or relationship, then a lot of the energy will go into creating a baby who has a very healthy nervous system, immune system, endocrine system, the brain formation, it starts to develop in a balanced way, if you like. But if mum's feeling in fear, maybe she's in a, an abusive relationship, or maybe she's like in a war zone, or maybe right now with all this uncertainty that's going on, the baby's hindbrain or the reptilian brain, the more of the energy is going to go into creating that, and the babies are going to be more into their fight, flight, freeze, and we'll talk a little bit about that, more able to be able to defend themselves or run away from danger, because mums may be feeling they're not safe right now. Now, of course, our birth experience also contributes to all of that. It's not just our time in utero. It's also about the way we're born, how we're born. And this creates this foundation of who we are. So I always talk about, if we have that really good beginning where in utero, mum's feeling safe and happy, we have a natural birth experience, we have great bonding experience, then it creates a solid foundation of who we are. And there's not a lot that can rock our foundation. We are going to go through trauma in life. There's no getting away from that. But if you have a very solid foundation, you think about a house, if you build a house on a solid foundation, then an earthquake comes and the house will just rock. It will just go with the flow of the earthquake, but it won't crumble and fall down. Now, if we have a lot of trauma very early on, we have a lot of trauma in our birth, and we don't have a great bonding experience or the separation from mum at birth, then our foundations are a little bit more rocky. So when traumas come along in our life, they tend to have a bigger impact on us and quite possibly could lead to having PTSD symptoms, which is post-traumatic stress, which most people kind of associate with soldiers going to war, but actually mother can get PTSD from a traumatic birth experience, and so can baby. It's also about how we relate to the world. So our belief systems, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about our belief systems in a little while, but our thoughts about the world, our subconscious beliefs, like whether we're safe or unsafe, whether we're loved or unloved, whether we're wanted or not wanted, all of this gets thrown into the mix at this time. So Dr. William Emerson says that if you were to go into his doctor's surgery at the age of 45 years old, he can tell you how your birth experience was by the list of physical symptoms you have. So it doesn't just affect our thought processes, if you like, our belief systems, but it also affects our physical body. So I want to give you a definition of trauma here. How do we know whether we are experiencing a trauma? Now, this can be what I would describe as a major trauma, but it could also be a small trauma, what we would consider something that most adults wouldn't even recognize that the child has been traumatized by an experience. And I'll give you an example of that. A lady I worked with, she, at the age of four, she was drawing a picture for her father. And her father was watching his favorite football team on television, his soccer team, if you're listening from America. And she drew this picture, and she went to hand it to her dad, very pleased with what she had, and she went to gift it to her dad. And something was going drastically wrong with the father's football team that he was supporting, and he got angry and he started shouting at the screen. Now, the four-year-old in her mind wasn't able to compute that it was the football match that was upsetting dad, and she made the belief that actually my picture is what has upset dad. I'm not good enough at drawing pictures. It's not safe to be creative. It's not safe to give my gifts to the world. And she came to me because she was a stunning artist, but she couldn't promote her work. She couldn't put her work out there. She couldn't sell any of her paintings that she was doing. And it went back to this memory of being a four-year-old when she made the belief that her work wasn't good enough. So every time she was trying to move forward with this, she couldn't do because there was something blocking her in her subconscious. It's going, no, it's not safe to put your work out there. So for her, even though the father would have no clue that his daughter was traumatized at that time, or it could be something that is big and major, that, you know, a car crash or the, you know, the whatever's going on with this situation that we're in right now. So trauma comes about most often suddenly. It's unexpected. We can't see it coming. We feel very isolated when the trauma occurs. So as this little four-year-old, in that moment when her father rejected her picture and got angry with her, which was her narrative of what happened, she felt very isolated. It was unexpected. She didn't expect her father to shout at her. It was sudden. It felt life-threatening. In that any moment that we feel isolated, it can feel a threat to life. We don't have any strategies to deal with the situation, and it involves emotional, physical, and mental pain. We can feel trapped, like there's no escape. We can feel powerless. It is nearly always shocking. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a big event. It can be something really teeny, teeny, tiny. And it can also happen in utero. It can be that moment when mum realizes that she's pregnant. And maybe she hasn't planned to be pregnant. And she starts thinking, oh gosh, how is this going to affect my life? You know, do I want a child? You know, can I be a mother? So even that can to the baby feel like it's a threat to life, especially if mum starts thinking along the lines of, oh, you know, what can I do? You know, do I want to have the baby adopted? Do I want to keep the baby? So now these traumas can be a one-off event, or there can be multiple events. So a multiple event would be living with a mum or a dad who maybe is an alcoholic, who is lovely one minute and is aggressive the next minute. That can leave a child feeling very unsafe because there's no consistency there. Okay, so shock. I spoke a little bit about shock. So shock is the nature's way of protecting us from the enormity of an event that's happening. Shock, we can be shocked by something that is truly life-threatening or something that is imagined or we perceive as life-threatening. So you think back to watching Jaws. Some of you will be old enough like I am to remember the film Jaws and how, you know, when we went to the cinema to watch Jaws, you would see, you know, the shark coming up out of the water and your body would be reacting. You know, your adrenaline would be going, you'll be, you know, it would be making you jump. You know, that is not a real threat to you as you sit in the cinema, but your body and your mind are reacting as if it is really happening to you because you start to become very empathic and connect in with the actors that are in the movie. So as I said, it's nature's way of ensuring our survival, if you like. And a good example here is this gazelle that's running away from the cheetah. So if we're able to take flight and run away from a perceived threat, then it's not as traumatic as if we are trapped and we can't run away. If we're able to fight our way out of a situation, then again, it's not so traumatic because we've worked through the trauma and we've got ourselves safe. Now, what normally happens is if we can't run and we can't fight, then we go into freeze. And usually it's like a few seconds before the trauma actually hits us, we go, and in that moment, everything gets frozen into place. Now, for the gazelle, after the gazelle's been chased by the cheetah, assuming the gazelle gets away and doesn't become lunch, then the gazelle will stand there and it will shake its body and it will shake off the trauma of what's just happened and then it will go back. It's like it's resetting its autonomic nervous system, calming everything down, and then it goes back to grazing. Now, as human beings, we don't tend to do that. So when you think about it, you come across somebody who's just had a car accident or something and you see them shaking, what's the first thing you do? You try and stop them from shaking. Yeah? Please don't do that. Allow that person to shake. And I'm going to be going through the EFT tapping points with you. So if you do happen to come across somebody who's traumatized and is shaking, then go through the tapping points that we'll go through at the end and just let them know that this is a perfectly natural thing to be doing. And this is just them releasing the shock. So keep shaking. It's good. This is okay. This is natural. Because what I find when I work with people who haven't been able to release, discharge the shock from their body is quite often in a session, they may start shaking. So again, I then will reassure them that it's safe to start releasing this. This is the shock releasing from your body that should have been released at the time that the trauma happened. And then once that shock's released, you can then continue with life. And like I said, the humans don't often do this last point or this last part. So how is trauma created? The event happens. The perception of that event. So if we were the gazelle, for instance, the perception of the event is, oh my God, I'm going to be the cheetah's lunch if I don't run fast enough. Survival kicks in. You get a brain response. So you get a mass the hormonal rush of adrenaline. Your body stops digesting food. All right. And that adrenaline enables you to either run, it enables you to fight, or it numbs you to the potential pain. How many of you maybe have had a situation like that, but maybe you've injured yourself in a trauma, but you don't realize you have that physical injury until afterwards because you don't feel the pain? That is your survival instincts kicking in to stop you feeling the enormity of what's happening. You get that nervous system response enabling you to run, or enabling you to fight. And if you can't do any of that, then you freeze. That creates a shock. And what we call a trauma capsule is created. So within that trauma capsule, If you think about it like a balloon, so imagine the balloon is the event of what happened. Okay, so maybe 9/11, if we use that. So where were you in 9/11? What were you thinking about that? Or some other trauma that may have happened to you in your life. And the whole memory, if you like, is encapsulated in, and you imagine it just being wrapped up in a shock bubble. So the outer edge of the balloon there is all the shock. Now, what goes into that is everything that you saw, everything that you heard. Maybe there was a smell associated with it. I'm trying not to trigger people, so I'm not going to go too much into the details, if you like. Maybe there was a body feeling associated with it. Of course, there'll be some form of emotions going on. Maybe there's body sensation. Maybe you've just eaten lunch and there is food in your stomach at the time of the event. Now, quite often, a lot of food allergies come about through trauma, because what your subconscious does is it tries to make sense of, put all the pieces together of that trauma event as, oh, okay, so there's, I don't know, pizza in your stomach. So you start to become allergic to wheat, you start to become allergic to dairy products, you start becoming allergic to tomatoes, or everything that's kind of made up within that pizza, especially if there's a repetition and maybe you eat a lot of pizza. And there is, as a child maybe, and there's repetition of trauma and trauma and trauma, and your subconscious goes, well, you know what, it must be that old pizza that we're eating, so let's prevent you from eating pizza, so we're going to give you a reaction to eating pizza because it's obviously not good for you. So it could be that maybe you're in a car accident and it's a blue car that hit you. Then the color of the car, so whenever you see a blue car, you're going to have a little jolt because you're going to have a memory of blue cars. So this is a, if you like, a single one-off event that happens, and everything that happens in that event, if you don't release the shock around that and process the emotions, it gets held, and it gets held in our energetic system, if you like. And if you think about that balloon also having a cord, so that cord is constantly connected to you. So unresolved trauma continuously affects us if it remains unresolved. Now, there is a technique or a process called Meta Health it's called now, where you can actually have a brain scan and you can see in your different areas of your brain where a traumatic memory has been registered in your brain. And it looks like a circle, and it looks like if you were to get a piece of chalk and draw a circle on a chalkboard, it would be a very distinct line. Now, if you go in and do some work and get trauma resolution on that event that happened, then it's like somebody gets a rubber and goes over the clear line. And even though you can still see where the trauma was recorded in the brain, it's now healed, if you like, because it's now not as distinct. And as we say, it can be a big event or a small event. It's normally the big events are the ones that are recorded in the brain. Now, this unresolved trauma can continue to affect us for the rest of our life, such as our birth experience, for instance. Let's just say if you were born with the cord around your neck, then maybe you're not able to wear tight clothing around your neck. Or maybe you, whenever you feel trapped in life and you can't move forwards, or you're trying to get a project going and you feel trapped, you can't move forward, and you get this tightness around your throat, or you get throat issues, this can all go back to your birth experience. Many more examples are actually covered in my book there, so I just wanted to give a little example there. So these memories can be conscious or they can be subconscious memories, so they can go back before the time of 5, 4, 5, 6. Not many of us can remember many events that happened before then. I think the earliest memory I can remember is being a 4-year-old and my brother being born. So it's usually a big event that we can remember, but we can't remember our day-to-day life as a 4-year-old. how can we actually heal this and bring resolution to our trauma? So this is what we do in the MetaClear technique, and we do with EFT, which is the tapping. We go back into the memory of the unresolved trauma as your adult self. So let's just say I'm working with John here. I would ask John, and we're going to go back to work with John's four-year-old self. I would say to John, John, would you now just imagine just stepping back into the picture or the memory with your four-year-old self, and just tell me what's the first thing your little four-year-old self is feeling right now. So you go in with the feeling. What are you sensing about how he's feeling? And then you want to connect and communicate with your younger self. So maybe your little four-year-old self has gone through a big trauma. So maybe, you know, could you imagine what you would say to a four-year-old, your four-year-old child? Like, maybe I'm really sorry that you're having this experience right now, and I'm here to help you. How can I help you with this? What you want to do is you want to release the shock of what happened, and tapping, which we're going to go through at the end. Tapping on the meridian system using the EFT tapping is a really good way, or one of the good ways of releasing shock from the body. So John, as his adult self here, would step into the picture with his little four-year-old self, and he would be tapping, doing the EFT tapping on his younger self. And we would be bringing in any other resources that John's little four-year-old self needed. And also going through any other emotions. Maybe he's upset. Maybe he's angry. Maybe he's feeling shamed. Maybe his parents told him off and said, you're a naughty boy. How dare you do that? You're a naughty boy. And that creates a lot of shame within the body. All right. So we would help the younger self move through all the different cycling of emotions that come out. And then we're going to ask them, well, what did they learn? And you ask your four-year-old self, they are very real little people. You know, you ask them, what did you make that mean about yourself? You know, and maybe it was like, if dad's telling you off for being naughty, it's like, well, I'm bad, or it's not safe to get things wrong, or I'm not good enough, or that, as that lady I worked with associated it with, it's not safe to be creative, or it's not safe to share my creativity with people. So you're going to bring in resources. What does your little self need? Now, if John's been traumatized by his father at a four-year-old, or this lady's been traumatized, then maybe you want to work on your father and tap on him and help him process his anger and help him understand that just how seriously that little four-year-old has processed what happened there. So most fathers, if they think they've traumatized their child, will go, I'm really sorry, and give the child a hug. And maybe that's all that needs to happen. And then that new belief becomes, I'm loved, I'm safe, I'm wanted. Now, when we do this for the birth experience, we go through the birth experience point by point, releasing the trauma for the baby, releasing the trauma for mum as we go through. And then once we've gone through the whole story, releasing all the trauma, we then go back and we create a new positive event. So I will guide people back and go through the birth how it should have been, a fully natural birth with a birthing pool or with the father present or whatever wasn't happening for the mother at the time or the baby at the time. And then I will guide them through the bonding process. And that, by recreating, if you like, the positive experience of what should have happened at the time, makes a major difference to how you feel about your life now. So multiple traumas reinforce negative beliefs. I will take a breath in a minute if there's any questions or anything that's coming up. John, if you want to just wave at me, I'll take a breath and stop.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I was just going to say that I think what you're saying is very important in terms of trauma. It's good. We often think of trauma as being an event rather than the context of it. So it's like how we interpret, particularly how babies and or adults interpret something, is kind of the key thing here, isn't it? Because you can have an event which doesn't appear to be that traumatic, but the baby or the child will interpret it in such a way that they believe that they are bad or whatever it is. Yes. So I think what you're saying is really important. Yeah,
exactly. Or the wrong sex. I mean, there's a relatively funny story in my book where the family were told that they were going to give birth to a boy. And when they kind of challenged the woman who was doing the scan, she kind of got a bit uppity and said, well, of course you're going to have a boy. You know, I can see it clearly here on the screen. I've been doing this for 30 years, you know. So for them, they'd programmed themselves into believing they were going to have a boy. And so they painted the room blue. They bought all boy clothes. They honestly believed they were going to have a boy. So it got to the birthing room and baby comes out. And the father looks at the baby, who's a little girl, and goes, oh, my God, my baby's deformed. Because it doesn't have the right bits in the right place. And the midwife laughs and said, no, silly, it's a little girl. And it was like, oh, of course, you know. But in that moment of the baby picks up the thought, feeling, emotion from dad, she makes that mean to her that she's the wrong sex, that she's not good enough, all of this stuff. And this ends up like, he ends up working with her when she comes home from school as a teenager, and she's very upset because the male teacher has rejected her homework, or she didn't achieve the highest mark that she thought she was going to be able to. And it really seriously upset her. And when they went back in time, she actually went back to her own birth experience, to that time when her dad, she felt that her dad was, that she was wrong, that she was a disappointment because she wasn't a boy and he was expecting a boy. So she made herself wrong for being a girl. I mean, it's just crazy. It's mind-boggling, you know. And as adults, we would never understand that that's where our children get their beliefs from. And as adults ourselves, we would never guess that's where we get our own beliefs from unless we go looking for it. So multiple traumas reinforce these negative beliefs. So I've got a few different ideas going on here. So all of the single balloons, if you like, the single trauma event, if you have lots of multiple traumas, then you get these balloons that are full of rage or guilt or fear or sadness or feeling isolated or feeling shame. And they kind of weigh us down. And this is what actually leads to physical illness, because we hold them out here in the field. And some of them get so heavy, they start impacting us. So they come through our energetic layers and come into the physical body. And that's why we start getting dis-ease in the body, if you like, is because it's usually created from unresolved trauma, unresolved emotions, and a belief system that I'm not loved, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I'm not good enough. So how are our negative beliefs formed? They can be formed as early as conception. So, and also prior to conception as well. I worked with a client who had PTSD, and we worked through all his trauma memories that he could consciously remember. And he was adopted. He knew nothing about his birth experience, but energetically, everything is stored in our energetic system. So we followed the energy back, and it actually went back to the point just before conception. And what he realized is when he tuned into the sperm of his father, that the sperm was actually carrying PTSD. And we will talk a little bit about the sperm in a minute, but the sperm was carrying PTSD. And so we tapped on the sperm to release the PTSD. And the information he got that just came through him was that his father had been in the, what was the war? His father had been in a war, and that's where he got his PTSD. And of course, we also know that it probably goes back into early childhood trauma as well. And that energy of PTSD was carried through the sperm into the egg, and that created him. And it was getting back to that key point that actually helped him finally get rid of his symptoms of PTSD. Every time we worked on a conscious memory, his symptoms went down, but the final key, if you like, was to actually go back to that point just before conception. in utero, of course, with everything that's going on right now. So I would advise any mothers who are listening to this that are currently pregnant, keep yourself in a bubble. Do not listen to the news. Do not concern yourself with what's going on in the world right now. Just withdraw from the world, keep yourself in your own bubble, and just work on helping yourself to feel safe. Do meditation, do yoga. If you, you know, walk in nature, watch really funny films on television. Don't sit there and watch all the bad news that's happening on television, because as you're taking that in, you're programming your baby. So if you can detach, you know, just spend as much time as possible detaching from what's currently going on, you're going to have a lot healthier baby, but you're also going to have a lot healthier you too. So up to 6 or 7 years old is when we're in what they call a hypnagogic state. So all of our negative beliefs and programs are programmed in at that time. When we get to the age of 7, we start going into a different brain state where we're able to question things and not just take on other people's experiences as our own. So before 6, children don't have the ability for questioning or critical thinking, and they learn from observation of their parents' behavior, from cultural, from religious, from other caregivers such as teachers, grandparents, any other, you know, siblings, exposure to world events, TV, the internet, etc. And also, I'm not going to go into this now, but well, I'll touch a little bit on ancestral energy in a minute, but also past lives, so what we bring in from other lifetimes. So that's a little bit more on the esoteric world, going into other lifetimes. But all of this kind of like goes into developing who we are as older children and adults. So some of the common beliefs and feelings: I'm stressed, I'm angry, I'm impatient. I'm not going to read them all out to you, but just have a little feel into right now, you know, what is going on for you. I would say probably maybe overwhelm, the fear of going out because you could get seriously ill, or potentially you could die. You know, we're being told, you know, day by day about the amount of people that are dying of this virus. So like I say, disconnect from all of that as much as you can, especially if you're pregnant. I personally have disconnected from all of it anyway, as much as I can, because as manifestors, if we have positive beliefs, we're more able to manifest a more positive future for ourselves. But it's quite hard to do that when we're running all these subconscious programs of I'm not safe, I'm not good enough, I'm powerless. So I set you a little home play. People who want to download this PowerPoint so you can get that list of beliefs, then we'll find a way of getting that to you. So take your time to write down these beliefs. So all of these that are listed here, and maybe some of your own beliefs that may not be covered here. And notice how much energy is in your body and which ones are the most powerful for you. All right, so which ones are affecting you the most right now? There may have been some that I was reading out that you felt a little zing or a little jump in your nervous system as I was reading them out. And what we want to do is we want to go into each of those trauma memories. And this is what we're doing with the MetaClear technique. And this is what we're doing with the EFT tapping part and all the rest of the modalities we bring in, is we want to go into those balloons that carry the heavy energy of shame, of guilt, of fear. And we want to fill them. We want to transform them into love, peace, feeling supported, feeling compassion and empathy, and changing our beliefs to, you know, I am loved, I am seen, I am heard, I am felt, my needs will be met, it's safe to learn through my mistakes. You know, so many people feel that it's not safe to make a mistake. There is, in my book, there's no such thing as mistake. They're all just learning experiences. All right, we want to feel more joy in our life. We want to feel fun, laughter, play. We want to be more playful. It's safe to be me and safe in my body. So all of these thoughts, these feelings and emotions are very possible to experience. If we go back and we work through our negative ones, we can actually switch them around into positive ones. So our ancestors, we also take on healing our ancestors' unresolved wounds and patterns. A very good book, and I'm not sure whether Mark Woolman is one of your speakers or not, but he does a lot of work around ancestral energy. So a great book I'd recommend is It Didn't Start With You. That's a very good book for ancestral energy. So if our ancestors have any unresolved patterns going on in their life, quite often it's handed to the next generation to clear, which feels a bit unfair, really, because we have enough of our own stuff to be working with in this lifetime, but we also have our ancestral beliefs as well. And I just want to emphasize here the link between ourselves, our mothers, and our grandmothers. So as you can see in the picture here, this is your grandmother. Inside your grandmother is your mother, and then inside your mother develops their eggs inside her ovaries while she's inside your grandmother. So if anything that's going on for grandmother also can affect the egg part that was you at that time, and that genetic information gets carried forwards. So a number of studies have suggested that the environmental stress in a parent may harm the health of subsequent generations. For example, women who were pregnant during the 1944 famine in the Netherlands, known as the Dutch hunger winter, had children and grandchildren who were unusually small and prone to diabetes and or obesity. The fathers, guys, you don't get away with this scot-free either. So the father's sperm making abilities also developed in utero, which when your father was inside his mother, which is your grandmother. And what that basically lays down, the blueprint for the sperm, and you think about it like a photocopier, all right? So the basic blueprint of the sperm is created inside the testes, inside your mother, inside your grandmother. So however, this is just the basic blueprint, and new information gets added. It turns out that the sperm's small RNAs undergo post-testes turnover, picking up intel on the father's physical health or lack thereof after they have manufactured, but before they exit the body. So I tend to like think about a sperm and then think about Lego. You know, this other RNA gets plugged into the sperm of what's going on for father up to about 3 months before conception. So it starts those building, those extra bits of information get plugged in, and then that's what the sperm's carrying. Okay. So as sperm traverses the male reproductive system, they jettison and acquire non-genetic cargo that fundamentally alters sperm before the ejaculation. These modifications not only communicate the father's current state of well-being, but can also have drastic consequences on the viability of future offspring. So bringing it back to what's happening right now, very sadly, a lot of people are losing their business. And as a father-to-be, your innate drive is to be the protector and the provider of the family. And if you can't be that, then that's going to have an effect on your sperm's genetic makeup, if you like. And that information will be passed over to the child. So it's kind of like a bit of a minefield. But the good news is that we can change this. And also there's another study. I like my studies. About the father, if you put sperm in a petri dish and you give the owner of the sperm electric shocks, you'll find that the sperm will actually register the owner's electric shocks. So potentially that can affect the baby In utero as well. So if dad's going through a traumatic, shocking experience whilst the baby's still in utero, the baby's also going to be receiving that information. All right, so I know I'm kind of like talking about a lot of trauma stuff here, but anybody feeling triggered right now, just take a few deep breaths. And I promise we will get to the part where we start tapping through some of this energy that may be being created right now. So just take a few deep breaths and just take a look around you and just bring yourself back into your body. So just focus on what you can see and what you can hear, if any of you are feeling triggered. And just use your breath and just know that you're safe right now in this moment. So how do you know that you're triggered? So the body awarenesses of when you're experiencing trauma or triggered from past trauma. So how are you or your body sensations or your mind reactions doing right now? So just tune into your body, become aware of how your body's feeling, where you're feeling the energy. Does it feel like you're in, you know, you're contracting right now, going into safety mode? Like maybe you're not wanting to hear what I'm saying, or maybe some of you are going, yes, 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 I love this information, and you're expanding into it, and you're just thinking, yes, this makes so much sense to me. Are you able to think? Does your mind feel frozen, or you can't form words? So if a trauma event's happening. You'll often find that women who are in a domestic violence situation, for instance, they start to feel like they're stupid because they want to respond back when somebody's attacking them verbally, but they can't form the words. They can't get the words out because they've gone into freeze and their brain's frozen. It's like a brain freeze starts happening. Your temperature, you know, feeling cold or maybe hot. Does your temperature change? I certainly know when I'm working with clients, I know if we're connecting to a memory that holds a lot of shock because their hand, if I'm holding their hand, their body temperature will drop and get very, very cold. And then when we've worked through the shock and they're getting to resolution, they start to get very, very hot. Or maybe you have embarrassment come up, which then makes you feel very, very hot. Is your breathing shallow? Is it fast or is it deep? You know, if you're doing a lot of chest breathing, and you're not able to breathe through your belly, then that's usually an indication that you're stressed or there's trauma going on. So what's the feeling in your gut? Are you feeling sickness? Are you feeling butterflies, heavy, dread? Do you feel like you've been kicked in the guts? Your whole body feels heavy. Maybe you just want to curl up and go into the fetal position. Like, you know, I know certainly when I was going through a lot of trauma with my father, when he had dementia, I would come away from the nursing home and literally just want to curl up in the fetal position and just put my head underneath the covers of my duvet. Are you feeling dizziness? Hot and red faced, as we said. Is there electrical shock feeling coming through the core of your body? Are you feeling hypervigilant? Do you have to keep, you know, looking for danger everywhere? Jane, who we've created the technique together, she comes from a domestic violence background, and she describes the energy in her stomach as like a swarm of angry bees in the belly. Is there tension in your body? Is there any body pain going on? That is unresolved trauma, tension. Or are you feeling calm, ease of thought, and easily feeling relaxation? Okay, so this is the bit where you guys get to join in here. So I want to take you through the basics of EFT. If you've not heard about EFT before, it's an energy psychology technique, and it focuses on tapping very lightly, very gently. You don't have to tap hard. It's very gently on these different points in the body that you see in the picture here, and I will guide you through them. And you're just doing rounds and rounds of tapping on your energetic system whilst you're focusing on a negative thought, a negative feeling, a negative emotion. And what this does is it encourages the body to release and process that emotion. So the tapping points, we start off with the side of the hand here. We usually have a statement that we say here. We then will tap on the top of the head, So I'll just take my glasses off for this. The beginning of the eyebrow. So it's the start of the eyebrow here, the side of the eye, under the eye. Just that bony part there, underneath the nose, the crease of the chin, underneath the collarbone, and underneath the arm. So for women, it's in line with your bra strap, or for men, it's in line with your nipple, underneath your arm there. All righty, we're not gonna bother with the sore spot today, but if you can just find that it literally is a sore spot. And you know, if you just wanted to, I don't know, maybe you're at work and you're feeling a little bit tired or you're feeling stressed, then just a few minutes of just doing little circles on your sore spot will help to revive you and reset your system. Okay, so how we're going to tap? As an example, we're going to work on the fear of catching the virus, but you can substitute your own issue here. So you're going to choose the issue you want to work on, be specific, i.e. I'm feeling fearful of catching the virus. The world feels a dangerous place to me, or something like that. Rate the emotion. So how intense is that fear from 0 to 10, right? 0 being no fear, 10 being maximum fear. Could be that, you know, you may get triggered by seeing people wearing masks or anything. You know, you can just bring anything in and change the statement to suit it for what you want to say. So you're going to start off with tapping on the side of the hand, and you have to state how you're feeling, what you're thinking, before you can actually change how you're feeling and thinking. So it's like there's an acceptance here of accepting this emotion, accepting this belief or this thought, and then you put a positive statement afterwards. So you may want to tap, even though I'm feeling the fear of this virus and the world being a dangerous place. So that's your acceptance part. I choose to feel safe anyway. So you want to go in with the opposite. Okay. So it's very important, using the phrasing, you acknowledge the issue, then state your acceptance statement. Gary Craig's original statement is, even though I'm feeling this fear, I love and accept myself anyway. If I'm working with fear, I like to say I choose to feel safe anyway, because you're bringing that aspect of safety in. And then you're going to tap with two fingers on the sides of the hand, as I'm doing here, where I'm repeating the statement, and you do that 3 times. And then you're going to follow the sequence, starting at the top of the head, and you're going to have a reminder phrase. So it could be like, all this fear, not feeling safe, thinking this thought and feeling this fear of being ill, this fear of dying, this fear of death. And after 3 rounds, that you're, and you can like name, where do you feel it in your body? So this fear in my chest, or this fear in my gut. I'm choosing to let go of this now, or it's time to let go of this now, or it's safe to let go of this now. And then once you've done a few rounds of allowing yourself, or giving yourself permission to calm down and release what's going on, just take a deep breath. You know, we underestimate the power of our breath here. So everybody just take a deep breath right now and breathe right into your belly, and then relax. And then what you're going to do once you've taken that breath is try and go back to the feeling, see how high that feeling is. So maybe you're a 10 on fear and you've now come down to a 6 or a 5. So you want to do some more rounds of tapping. So let's give this a go. So I may start off like following the script on the screen here, but I may also go into whatever else comes up. So I'm just going to try and kind of tune into you guys that are listening here. So tapping on the side of the hand. Actually, first of all, tune in right now. And if you just think about going out, maybe into the world, and you know, how are you when you go to the supermarket or whatever? You know, what level of anxiety or fear does that bring up for you? I mean, some of you it may not bring up anything at all. Other people may be highly anxious. So just tune into that energy. Where do you feel it in your body? And you may even want to give it a color. What color is that energy in your body? So, tapping on the sides of the hand, even though I feel really fearful about this thought. So repeat after me. I'm going to give you chance or time to say this after me. Even though I feel really fearful about this thought, I choose to feel safe anyway. Or you could also say, I'm safe right now in this moment. Even though I feel really fearful about catching the virus or going shopping or being out in public or leaving my home, I choose to feel safe anyway. I'm safe right now in this moment. Even though I have all this fear of the virus and all that it means to me, I choose to feel safe anyway. Top of the head, feeling this fear. Beginning of the eyebrow, all this fear in my body. And just name where it feels most fearful for you. Maybe it's in your chest, this tightness in my chest. All this red energy in my belly, this fear energy in my belly. Side of the eye, all this fear when I think I'm not safe. Under the eye, this fear feels overwhelming. Under the nose, really feeling this fear. And the chin point, what if this is never going to change? What if we're going to be locked down forever? And maybe just as I said that, for you guys that are experiencing this lockdown, and I say that, just notice that maybe that brought up another spike of energy, a spike of fear. Under the collarbone, I'm feeling so anxious. Under the arm, this feels overwhelming. And then back to the top of the head. But I choose to feel safe anyway. I'm safe right now in this moment. Side of the eye. All this fear, it's safe to release some of it now. Under the eye. Right now in this moment, I'm sitting watching this presentation. Under the nose, nothing bad is happening. Crease of the chin. All this not feeling safe in the world, I wonder where that comes from. Under the collarbone, is this the first time I've felt this? What does it remind me of? Under the arm, is this something that happened in the past? It can stay in the past for now. Right now, in this moment, I'm safe. So just keep tapping through the points and just start to explore. Just play with how you're feeling. Maybe you're feeling anger. Maybe you're feeling frustration. Maybe you're feeling sadness. Maybe there's some grief there. Maybe there's some shock. The shock in my body. It's safe to release some of it now. There's sadness and grief. I choose to release some of it now. And then take a deep breath. And sigh it out. And take another deep breath. and sigh it out. Alrighty. So for those of you that are listening live right now, would you just pop in the chat box and just let me know how you're doing, how you're feeling, as you check back in with your body. If is your level of emotion gone from very high to very low, or has it brought up new things for you? Just let me know how you're doing there. So to give you a little bit of a first aid kit, if you like, we just practiced a breath, but I want you to try and remind yourself to breathe, because when we're feeling tense, when we're feeling anxious, we often forget to breathe, or we do very shallow breathing. I mean, we're not going to die because it's like autonomic or automatic. We are going to keep breathing. But when you start doing the more conscious breath, that helps to regulate your autonomic nervous system. And if you add a tone to it as well, like we've just done, then that will also help you as well. Regulate your body. So if you want to go to YouTube and just find AUM or OM chanting song, maybe just put that on. Any other form of chanting is really good. So you want to breathe in and you want to breathe out for a longer count. So let's just say you breathe in for 4 and out for 8. So breathe in for 4 and out for 8. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you add a tone into that. Breathe in for 4. And breathe in for 4. And out with a om. And if you do that a number of times a day, that will help to your body to calm down. Okay, tapping. You know, we've just done some tapping, but you can, you know, just do a few rounds, and you can breathe and tap. You know, you can tap here. This happened in the past. This is not happening right now, or right now in this moment, I'm safe. I'm choosing to come back to the present moment. And as you're breathing, you can also imagine breathing in your color for safety. So have a think about what would be your color for safety. What would you need? Surround yourself in that color. Breathe it in. Do the heart breathing. The HeartMath Institute have some really good guides on heart resonant breathing as well. So just, you know, once you've felt yourself like calming down again, put your hand on your heart and just come into a space of gratitude. Okay, so just think of 3 things that you're grateful for right now. There's nothing better than switching your state than to think about gratitude. What are you grateful for? Or you just need to orientate yourself and just go, you know what, I'm just gonna, what can I see? What can I hear? What can I feel? What's going on with my body? So there's some first aid tips for you. I hope that the tapping will really help you. It's a first step, if you like. The MetaClear technique that I spoke about, we are going to be creating, or we're in the process of creating this technique for self-help, but also for practitioners, people who want to go on and help other people. And we're going to be covering all of these areas. So connection, working with our higher self, our inner guidance, spirit guides, and our future self. We're going to be looking a lot about consciousness. So covering conception, pregnancy, and birth. I will be teaching the birth reimprinting process within the MetaClear technique now. I'll probably be renaming it MetaClear for Birth or MetaClear for Pregnancy. Parenting, conscious new parents, conscious relationships, transformation of trauma, whether it's this lifetime, past lifetime, or ancestral energy, we're going to be covering. Manifestation, So looking at, like, you know, once we've transformed our trauma and we now have our high vibe balloons carrying us through life, that's when we can really get into the manifestation of wealth, of abundance, of health, of peace, of joy, and all the good things that we want in life. So believe it or not, even though that we've got this crazy stuff going on right now, this is all about helping us manifest the future we want. So putting more attention on creating the new future, the future that you want to see, as you know, we come out of this process and we start coming into this new time. We've got this opportunity now to step into the new Aquarian age, if you follow astrology. It's really quite exciting. And, you know, I wouldn't be here in Thailand had I not spent some time manifesting living in a hot country by a beach. And I even have a horizontal coconut tree on the beach, which was part of my manifestation process as well. It was actually one of my pictures on my movie or vision board, if you like, of what I wanted. And I didn't actually realize at the time that I was manifesting living in Thailand. Okay, so we have a program if you'd like to join us on the 11th of March, starting at 9:30 a.m. UK time, 7:30 Brisbane time. Myself and Jane will be taking people through the artist self-inquiry. So we'll be looking at how we can chunk down and really get down into our beliefs and find where they came from. So it's kind of like our first step, if you like, in the MetaClear technique, and we're calling it the New Human Guide. So we've got a 3-month program that's going to be running where we're going to be working on self. So this is all about you. It's all about helping you help yourself before you help other people. So whether you're a practitioner and you're working with other people, whether you're a mother and you want to be able to take care of yourself before, you know, fill your cup first before you help your family or even a father, you know, there's no limitations to this. So this is what we're going to be doing. Details will be on my website, magicalnewbeginnings.com, under the events. And as a special gift to you all, if you would like to do an empowerment meditation, one of my other modalities, if you like, is I'm a Soma breath instructor, but I also are putting together my own meditations, combining the use of color, combining the use of the breath, combining the use of sound, as in sound healing through music, but also our voice. How we can heal ourselves with our own vocal tones, using our own voice. So that's a free meditation for you. Should you wish to sit down, take 48 minutes to go through the meditation, take that time to resource yourself, to let go of your fears, and to step into a place of safety, empowerment, creativity, love. So as you can see in the picture here, we're gonna go up all the different energy centers there, just bringing in the positive energy, and we're releasing the negative energy out through the soles of our feet into the earth. So that meditation is there for you to use.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much. That was wonderful, and such resources for people.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we do have a question from Laurence Arslan, who is asking about how to do tapping for the ancestral birth trauma. I know that's a big topic, but maybe you could just say.
That is a big topic. Okay, so I'm just recognizing a name here in the chat box. Hi, Katrina. So recognizing birth trauma that is ancestral, is that the question?
Yeah, how to make the tapping specifically for ancestral birth trauma, I think.
So I think the first thing is to look at your own birth trauma. Quite often how we're born is how we give birth. So you would want to look at your own birth experience and how you gave birth to your children, if it's a mother asking who's already given birth to children. And then maybe if your mother's still alive, you go back and you ask your mother. That, to be honest with you, the EFT for me is just a self-help tool for the emotions. What we would then do is kind of like step into the field. We would invite in the mother, the grandmother, however many ancestors this pattern of birth trauma goes back. You invite them all in, and I have a special place, if you like, or within the light matrix, as I call it. And we would do some tapping. We'll use some color. Maybe we'll use the help of some guides or some angels to help remove the stuck energy that goes back. But the first thing is to do some investigation, if you like. Talk to your mother about her birth experience and how she felt giving birth to you, and then look at your own experiences of giving birth. And if your grandmother's still alive, then maybe go back and talk to them. But if that's not possible because your mother and your grandmother are no longer with you, then you can actually do that by following the energy, if you like. But that wouldn't be something that I would even know begin to tap just through EFT, because that would just get too complicated. Okay. If you're looking at all the ancestors, just predominantly using EFT without going into the other technique. I guess you could do this ancestral energy of birth trauma. You could tap on that, but that's quite general. So it would be it would be something I would recommend working with a practitioner with, rather than trying to do that on your own, because that could also, it can be opening up quite a lot for people.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I hope that answers for Lorenz. I'm sure it does. I had quite a lot come up while you were just even speaking through, especially when you were talking about the male and the sperm, how the sperm can carry PTSD. I was having, I was getting quite a lot of emotion coming up. So I'm curious about that.
Wow. So interesting to explore that a little bit more and just see whether there's something there for you that belongs to your father.
Yeah, it's very new, a new concept to me. Thank you. So I don't know if anyone has any more questions, you can pop in the chat box here. Otherwise, we will say thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us. And it sounds like a wonderful offering with your colleague. Was it Jane?
Yes, Jane Sprite-Leach. She lives in Australia, and she's got many, many years of working with domestic violence. So she knows a lot about trauma and transforming trauma. So she does amazing work with the women. So Katrina's saying anger came up for her at the end, but now feels softer. And embodied health learning says I had some nausea, then felt a release. Awesome. Ah, good. Katrina's saying she's now training to be an cranial sacral therapist too. That's awesome. Brilliant work. Alrighty.
Thank you so much, Sharon. And so our next webinar will be on March the 14th with Nora Esterman, who's going to be talking about the effects of miscarriage and abortions on the mother and the father and the entire family. So thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Louise.